You know, when I saw that it was on our official list of Bible readings, we called the lectionary this week, I was definitely tempted to pick something else. It's a tough one, right? So was it hard to say a moment ago, thanks be to God, after that reading? Not sure we're so thankful for that one, right? So do you wonder, why are we retelling this story? One reason, as I've said, is that some of us grew up hearing this story as an example of God's great faith, his obedience and trust in God. And we need to wrestle with it, if only to put it into a healthy perspective. And it also raises the important issue of how we understand our Holy Scriptures and how we wrestle with passages and stories like this one that seem to make little or no sense. I mean, what are we supposed to make of this story, really? Did God actually expect Abraham to kill his beloved son as a test of his faith? What kind of sadistic God asks for such an extreme demonstration? Is God cruel and sadistic? It goes against everything we know about God, who is loving and generous and compassionate. And by the way, this apparent command goes against God's own direct promise to Sarah and Abraham, that they would be the parents of a great nation, a multitude of descendants. Well, how is that supposed to happen if Isaac's gone? For centuries and centuries, millennia in fact, preachers and scholars have tried to figure out this story. It's been perplexing Jews, Christians, and Muslims throughout history, because Abraham is an important figure for all of our faiths. In the Jewish tradition, there are many different interpretations which try to make sense of this story. One ancient scholar argues that God always knew that Abraham would obey and was demonstrating this to Satan, like the story of Job, if you remember that one. A little later, a Greek-influenced scholar, on the other hand, emphasized Abraham's faithfulness in the context of a Greek religion, where the sacrifice of one's children was pretty common, apparently, not to mention several other ancient religious traditions in South America and elsewhere. Some Jewish scholars believe that this story was about the faithfulness of both the father and the son, suggesting that Isaac was fully aware and participating, and that he was prepared to be a martyr. I think that's a little stretch, right? The idea came out of a time, though, in those days when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem and martyrs were much revered in the Jewish community. For all of the different interpretations, they often come out of what people are experiencing at the time. Christians, of course, added their own spin to this story at various times. There is a multitude of ways that people have tried to figure out this story. The most common interpretation connects Abraham's potential sacrifice of his son, Isaac, with God's sacrifice of his son, Jesus. You've probably heard that one before. And that actually, though, raises one of the most difficult and unsettling, I think, aspects about the Christian faith, which, on the face of it, seems to be founded on the notion of a divine father killing his son. How does that work? This is where one of the great metaphors that we have for God, God the Father and God the Son, breaks down. The sacrifice of Christ is not divine Father killing divine Son. It is loving God giving of self, not divine child abuse and murder. Isaac is the precious and surprising gift from God, who promised, you may remember, promised Abraham and Sarah that even in their old age, they would have many descendants. It seemed so preposterous that they laughed. And they named the son who did come later Isaac, which means laughter. We know that from many other teachings in the Bible that children are precious in God's sight, and we must treat them accordingly. And Jesus himself said, the kingdom of God belongs to children. And second, we know that we are called to love one another, right? This is the supreme commandment, to love God and love each other. So if we think God is asking us to silence or hurt another person, what we are hearing is not the voice of God, but the voice of my own misguided thinking or of others. God does not hurt. God does not seek destruction, but life abundant for all creation. Any teaching in the Bible or elsewhere, anything that we think we're hearing, needs to be held up to this primary standard of love. This is one of the main principles of interpreting and understanding the Bible. You don't take individual ideas, individual stories, on their own without fitting it into the overall message of God's love. And our requirement to love like that. In the United Church, we often say that we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. The reason why we are even discussing this story is that it's not helpful to simply dismiss stories like this out of hand, as tempting as that is. Like so many other historical teachings of the church that the church has actually repented from, some Bible passages and the way we have understood them need to be repudiated. But if we don't examine and wrestle with them first, we might miss what we can learn from them, and we might miss how they have harmed folks and could continue to harm others. We are seeing a resurgence today of people using our faith, using the faith of Jesus, using our Bible to harm each other, to hurt, and to justify horrible behavior. and this is not new. Another principle of biblical interpretation is that we discern God's leading as a community. This is one of the reasons we can't practice faith all on our own. When we follow God's call without allowing the community of the faithful to validate our thinking, we can end up acting in fanatical and dangerous ways. And we have seen some terrible examples of that throughout our history and even today. We need each other, particularly when we think we hear God's command for action. We need each other to affirm that the voice we hear is God's voice, or to let us know that what we're listening to is our own stinking thinking. Imagine what Abraham might have discovered if he had asked Sarah about this plan, or some of the elders about this so-called command from God. I think you missed something. Was that like autocorrect in the text or something? Like, what happened? Sometimes we just get it totally wrong, like Abraham did, like our settler forebears did sometimes. We have to struggle thoughtfully with the teaching and traditions of our faith. Accepting them without submitting them to the best ethical standards of our tradition is unfaithful and dangerous, and results in the justification of things like slavery, apartheid, the Nazi Holocaust, the displacement of indigenous people, residential schools where abuse and cultural genocide could flourish. It's the same kind of messed up theology that justifies the Israeli regime's genocide in Palestine. This week, we are celebrating the incredible gift and privilege of our nation, Canada, and some of us are wearing red today for that and for the fact that we have an important game coming up today. But if we celebrate without being aware of the whole story, we do ourselves and our nation a disservice. As we celebrate the privilege and gift of our nation, Canada, we celebrate and practice our living faith too. And just like our national celebration, it's cheapened and undermined if we don't temper our celebration with the truth. Our love and acceptance of our faith traditions, like our national celebration, need to be tempered with an awareness of the abuse and the destruction that are part of our history. Even as we celebrate and renew our loyalty, we also need to name and repudiate the toxic religious ideas that have caused harm for many centuries. I know that there are folks here, or other folks that we know, who have been deeply hurt and mistreated by the church, by folks who claim to follow Jesus. And there is still much harm being done in the name of Christ, judging and abusing folks, excluding them, and justifying discrimination and hate. And I want to take a moment now to acknowledge that and to confess, on behalf of the church and its leaders, of whom I am one, where we have betrayed Christ and acted harmfully. It's incumbent on us who seek to truly follow Christ to disavow those ideas and actions and to correct them wherever we can. There's a big difference between toxic religion and a living faith rooted in love. And acknowledging the sins of the past doesn't stop us from celebrating all that is good. It allows us to celebrate our faith and our nation with joy, authentic joy. We receive our faith tradition and our holy scriptures with gratitude and devotion, but it has to be a critical devotion that wrestles with the contradictions and historical harm that comes with those traditions and are even embedded in our scriptures. There is anti-Semitism embedded in the Christian scriptures. There is deep patriarchy embedded in the scriptures. There is lots that is harmful in the scriptures, which represent centuries of people wrestling with their relationship with God and expressing themselves as they understood it at the time. We don't have to throw the babies out with the bathwater, but we need to be aware of those places. We need to measure our understanding of the Bible against the foundational themes of our faith, the primacy of love, and with the help of the faithful community as we continue to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We don't do this alone. We say it over and over again every week. We are not alone. And we are not alone in this task of wrestling. God did not intend Abraham to kill Isaac. And God does not expect blind obedience to commands that get distorted or misunderstood. God did not command Christians to slaughter Jews and Muslims to claim Jerusalem in the Crusades. Despite the Crusaders saying God wills it, they were wrong. God's command to share our faith and make disciples throughout the world did not give us a divine mandate to displace and enslave and abuse indigenous peoples in Africa and Asia and the Americas. The scriptures are our sacred story. A story full of difficult and sometimes contradictory history of people wrestling with who God is and how God brings abundant life for all people. If we listen carefully and faithfully to our sacred story, we discover that in times of confusion, pain, and despair, God provides a way of love and life. Thanks be to God. Amen.